Welcome to the Slasher Sanitarium podcast. I am your host, Troy. The Slasher Sanitarium podcast is brought to you by the Questionable Endeavor Network. Go to questendnetwork.com for all of the podcasts available under the Questionable Endeavor Network banner. Email the show, theslashersanitarium@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @slasherpodcast. Like our Facebook page. Visit patreon.com/slasherpodcast to support and help keep the Slasher Sanitarium alive. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here goes. It's Final Destination 4, a.k.a. THE Final Destination, a.k.a. not the Final Destination movie. This is not the last one. There's another one after this. And I'm probably going to have to do that one too, aren't I? I've come this far. I'm still here. I haven't rage quit the show yet. But this movie comes close to making me. The movie starts out by blasting my eardrums with the New Line Cinema logo and some new metal. We are at a racetrack. And that's right, now I remember this movie. Metal is blazing, the teams are doing pit stops, and everyone is super pumped for a midday race. The new metal lowers, and we get a group of friends who are somehow able to have a conversation despite a race going on in front of them. Now, I understand that there is a probably good contingent of the audience here who have never been to a live race, even a short track race. You can't have conversations when the race is going on. It's too loud. You will not understand what each other is saying. And these people are talking like they're watching it on TV. Black-haired Stinkface is upset that she is at a race instead of at a movie. Extreme Hair Gel Guy says that if these guys lose focus for just 1 second, you will have to scrape them off the wall with a shovel. I mean, auto racing deaths are pretty rare, but in this movie, apparently not so much. And of course, he says he's just there to see them crash. Here comes Nick with a bunch of drinks and food. He sits down and it causes a bench to crack. Hair Gel Dude has a flask hidden in his binoculars, which is pretty fucking cool. And some random chick and her mechanic boyfriend ask to see his binoculars and she chugs down his alcohol. That's gross. That dude has been drinking out of there and now you probably have herpes. Redhead thanks Nick for bringing her, for making her take a study break, because I guess she's a high school student. Some dude in a cowboy hat sits in front of them, and he asks if he is in the way, and moves down. This prompts one of the most overused lines in movies, "And I thought chivalry was dead," which is really a polite way of saying men are assholes. Redhead and Nick make out, so I guess they are together. And we get a scene with a woman I will call Bad Mother. There's going to be another name for her later that I don't agree with, but Bad Mother sees that her children, who she did not bring any hearing protection for, are having problems because it's really loud, even though we're listening to a conversation go on next to each other, but apparently that's too loud for the children, and she makes them put tampons in their ears for ear protection, and then laughs at them to their face. A racist white guy is racist as he says something like, "There goes the neighborhood." There's got to be more than just one black guy at this thing, so I don't know why he singles out black security guard, but he does, and he whistles, I think, the banjo music, but that wasn't about black people and white people. That was about white people and other white people, so weird thing to do. Nick looks up and sees that the pillars holding the like overhang of this racetrack are crumbling, so, you know, maybe leave then. Car number 6 makes a pit stop, and Bill Wall Racing has an open can of motor oil in their pit box, because that's safe. And then, of course, it gets tipped over, spills into their pit stop, and we see car number 16 drive through it, and he spins out, and we hear the sounds of, like, what it sounded like, dolphin noises? Not spitting out tire noises, but dolphin noises. He manages to save it, though, and keeps going. Stinkface asks if it is safe to sit there. Well, of course it is, moron. Otherwise, you would not be sitting there. And I say that knowing full well that you're going to die by sitting there. We see that they're in section 180 because, you know, the first movie. And a flyer shows that this racetrack has lost like 20 drivers. What the fuck are they doing that these guys keep dying? If I'm a race car driver at this local track and two drivers die, I'm like, I'm out. 20? No fucking way. There haven't been 20 drivers that have died total in the past like 10 years in all of auto racing. Nick then sees that a guy is wearing a life's a bitch, then you die shirt. So here we are, we're getting our little scenes of, oh, some spooky shit's going on. But honestly, if I looked down and saw 20 drivers have died, I'd be like, I am in the wrong fucking place. I wouldn't be thinking, I'm about to die. I'd be thinking, one of those people on the track is about to die. And a person wearing a life's a bitch, a then you die shirt, they probably sell those at the concession stand, because it seems like it's that kind of place. He then looks up and sees the roof is crumbling again. Again, I mean, you know, just leave. Car 45 makes a pit stop, as does everyone else. And, boy, this is hard to figure out. So there's a little overflow thing out the back of a car. When you put too much gas into it, it overflows at the back. For some reason, they jam a screwdriver into this port. So I don't know if it's supposed to be like the little overflow thing is not working and this is their way of fixing it. Either way, they stick a screwdriver into the rear and then the car takes off. He forgets to grab the screwdriver out, of course, and it falls onto the track. Which now would be a good time for a caution flag, you know, or somebody to actually look and be like, oh shit, there's something on the track. But of course, car number 6 hits it and blows a tire. And of course, because, you know, it's a short track, he's not going that fast, he just blows a tire, you know, hits the wall, and everything's fine. Oh no, wait, he starts to flip 1,000 times, and apparently his lug nuts are made of chewing gum, because every tire that he had on his car is now flying off of his car. So, this guy, who's clearly not going fast enough to flip the way he does, flips, his tires then fly off of his car, and somehow make it over the catch fence, called that way because it catches any debris or so, or cars that are trying to fly into the crowd, flies over the catch fence, and blasts the chick who stole the alcohol right in the face, obliterating her face and arm. And then the 6 car keeps flipping. And he continues to flip until he is hit by another car, which then, because physics, that proceeds to launch the entirety of his car into the catch fence, which does little to stop it, mind you. He plows through it, and the car lands full on a dude in the crowd. Because physics. Everybody freaks the fuck out, naturally, because they just saw some shit that makes no fucking sense, and they start to trample one another. And apparently because nobody is slowing down on the track, despite the fact that this guy went flipping, and another car hit him, and this track is not big enough for these guys to continue to go speeding through and piling through, another car creams another one, and because these cars are strapped with nitroglycerin, both explode. This sends a flat piece of metal into the crowd, which slices Racist and his woman clean in half. Because physics. In my notes, I originally wrote Stinkface. I went back and I figured out it's not her. The bad mother from before gets trampled, and as she rolls over, another car explodes. Another car explodes. We're up to like 4 of them at this point, sending, I shit you not, the entire engine over the catch fence straight into her. I just fucking can't. Like, you're not even trying to be at least somewhat rooted in realism. Like, I get that you're running out of ideas to have mass fucking chaos and stuff like that. And I was a little skeptical on a racetrack, but I was like, you just have to have one fucking car go piling through the crowd and take out a bunch of people. But instead, because it's a Final Destination movie, you have to have multiple different ways for people to die. And because of that, you have to somehow manage to find a way to send multiple cars into the crowd. Which, mind you, doesn't fucking happen. After that first hit, apparently everyone else that's racing out there is just like, they didn't throw the caution flag, I gotta keep running, I gotta try to win. And they're just gonna keep spinning around and spinning around, going around the track. I mean, the last movie was bad enough, but this shit just doesn't make any logical sense. A fucking engine cannot get launched 200 feet into the air due to an explosion. An explosion, mind you, it's a car, okay? Cars don't explode like they're strapped with fucking bombs, okay? They light on fire. Yes, they can have a somewhat of an explosion. Not one powerful enough to launch a fucking 300-pound engine into a crowd. Dude whose girlfriend got hit by the tire steps on the cracked seat, falls backwards into a shard of wood that was standing straight up. Because of course he does. And of course it hits him right through the mouth. Of course it does. Why wouldn't it? Again, why are cars still driving on the track? It's been like 5 minutes. You think by now they'd be like, we should probably stop driving. Because there's a lot of shit going on around us. What's more, I'm not sure why the track decided to put that ramp out there that keeps sending flaming cars into the crowd. But it does. Because now a cowboy gets taken out by a car blowing up and hitting him. Why? The entire roof then comes down because three fucking 3,000-pound race cars flew through the air like they were made of fucking tinfoil and crashed into the stands. This kills more people, but I don't give a fuck. Nick and Stinkface get... Gelhair and Stinkface get killed by falling concrete. Even more people die. Another car explodes. Because, yeah. Which proceeds to kill Redhead and Black Security Guard and sends Nick into a pipe, killing him. I know it's difficult. I know it's very difficult because the first Final Destination movie had one of the best, like, opening murder scenes. The plane crash was done so well. It was so believable. And then the second one topped it, in my opinion. Some people will flip-flop those two, but needless to say, those two are the cream of the crop of these ones. Because the second one had the fucking highway accident, which was tremendous. And you felt like it was real. You felt like there were the things that were happening there could happen. Because it was just cars killing people. You save the crazy fucking out-of-this world deaths for the survivors. You don't do it in the opening segment here. So three, that's when we started to have some problems where the fucking roller coaster, they couldn't just have the whole thing explode or send people like falling to the doom or whatever that. They had to try to do different things in it, slicing people in pieces and shit like that. And it just doesn't make that much sense. Like, use the script from the first two. Where, yes, the first thing is fuck terrifying. It's something people are actually afraid of. But it's not so over the top that you literally have a fucking car engine slam into somebody on the steps. That's so fucking dumb. Nick flashes back to the present and says, cowboy in a hat sits here. Well, I guess he would just be a normal dude without the hat, right? So that's kind of an oxymoron. He then says bad mom puts tampons in her kids' ears, and hey, there they are. Here Jelly remarks that has a lot of tampons for one woman, and maybe she just likes to be prepared. Then he remembers that the down in front asshole line is said, and then he remembers racist guy is racist, and Nick sees 45 in the pits and tells him that number 6 will crash. Nick causes a giant fight and runs off, which causes a bunch of people to follow him. Racist gets splashed with something, and he tells his girl to stay. Now, later in this movie, he's going to blame Black Security Guard, but he's the one who told his woman to stay. So, blame where blame is due, dude. So, we get Black Security Guard, Nick, Redhead, Hair Gel, Stinkface, Bearded Dude, his girlfriend, Racist, Bad Mom, and I think her husband. Maybe the kids? They all make it out. I just realized something. I'll get to it later. They hear the crash and people are running out. And Racist wants to go back for his wife as Beardo's girlfriend asks if they have lost their fucking minds as a tire flies out of nowhere and obliterates her head and arm. A tire. Just launch. Let's call it 700 feet. Into the air. And killed her. It had to clear the fence. Clear the racetrack completely, which is higher than the fence, and hit her in the parking lot. This thing flew, like I said, 700,000 feet into the air, arced down and killed her. More new metal as we see a bunch of the deaths from the first four movies presented as x-rays. Yeah, remind everyone of better movies. That's going to work. Well, two out of three. We are at death of... The last one was better than this one. And that's saying something, because the last one was fucking terrible. We are at death by caffeine, as the four friends are pretty bummed. So Nick is probably best known as Seth Branson on the Scream TV series, but he's out of a job because that's getting rebooted. Hairgel, a.k.a. Hunt, because that's a name, is Steel on Legends of Tomorrow. I don't watch that show, so I don't know. Redhead, a.k.a. Lori, is from the Shooter TV series as well as the Flash TV series. And Stinkface, a.k.a. Janet, is from Teen Wolf. Notice a pattern? Yeah, they all suck. Oh my god, they didn't even name the rest of the cast. I'm reading on IMDb, Beardo is named Mechanic. His now headless girlfriend is Mechanic's girlfriend. Racist is Racist. No lie. Look it up. Cowboy is Cowboy. Yeah, they didn't bother. They're just like, fuck it. Nobody's watching anyways. So 52 people died. 52. For a race car crash. We see that Hunt has a lucky coin. Sure, because that's a thing. And he keeps spinning around. He flips into the air. You know, all of the normal shit you do with a lucky coin. We see a bunch of people at the memorial. And a bunch of pictures of people at the memorial. Dying on at a short track race is on the list of many ways I don't want to die. I don't want to be listed as like the guy who got hit by shrapnel from our flying race car, because apparently that happens in this world. That's just not what I want to be remembered as. Mechanics had to pay his respects. MILF, I kid you not, that is the name they gave her. I also don't agree with it, because I think she's kind of... thanks, Nick, for saving him. MILF's husband, also his credited name, asks Nick how he knew it would happen. MILF's husband was there with her. We saw him die. He does not get a death in this movie. He is never heard from again. This is the last time. What happened to him? Nick doesn't know, and Bubba Gump Shrimp comes up, but Racist says that Bubba killed his wife because he stopped Racist from going back inside to save her. But like I said before, Racist, if you wouldn't have told her to stay, which I don't know why you did, if you were running out and completely out of the racetrack, you would have not been a widow. Racist then calls him the N-word, which I gotta assume must be awkward on set. Racist says, "Your time is coming, Chocolate." Is chocolate a racist term? If somebody called me Milkface, I wouldn't be that upset by it. Or milk chocolate. I'm okay with that, too. I like milk chocolate, although I don't look it. I'm like, like cookies and cream bar. There you go. Except without, like, the little chocolate things in there. See, that doesn't feel bad for me. What the actual fuck just happened? While I was playing Is It Racist, suddenly a bad rendered 3D hook, horseshoe, and fire blasted me in the face. The words, "It's here," scream at me. What the fuck was that? It's just some crazy fucking 3D shit that came flying out of nowhere with a bunch of screaming metal music and screaming voices and shit like that. It's the most jarring thing I ever fucking watched. Nick wakes up, so I guess it was a bad dream. And Lori has perfect makeup on. Nick also has really dark nipples. Should probably get those checked out. Racist sideswipes a car, and he is listening to metal music, because apparently that's the soundtrack of this movie. We see that Bubba is at home quietly reading a book, and his mother calls him. What a nice young lad. He's reading an Alcoholics Anonymous book, and we see that Racist is about to do some unsavory things, like spill his beer. He grabs a cross, because apparently it's in... Yeah, I could say 1970s. I think they were still burning crosses in the 1970s. And he hammers it, or he's going to hammer it into George's front yard, but first he's going to nicely dig a hole for him. We see he has the lucky horseshoe that Nick dreamed about, and the horseshoe drops and turns on his radio. It plays Why Can't We Be Friends? So even death is against racism. It's nice of him. He gets hooked by his tow truck, and lets out a comical, because he was drinking gasoline, the entire chain lights on fire from the ground. No, it can't. and proceeds to light his feet on fire. He screams about being on fire, and then his entire truck blows up. It blows. Cars don't blow up. Why is this still a thing? But the explosion, of course, sends his entire face on right into George's yard at his feet, and it's on fire. Cut to a cartoon dog screaming, "My ass is on fire." Subtle. Lori gets a call from... Why the fuck is she sitting around in her underwear? She's clearly put on her makeup, but decided not to put her pants on. Anyway, well, I know why she was sitting around in her underwear, because, you know, that's the only thing that this woman got cast for. But it doesn't make any sense in this movie. Anyway, she gets a call from whatever the fuck Stinkface's real name is. I'm not looking back to see what it is. And she tells her that Racist is dead. Racist does have a name. It's Carter Daniels. Nick sees the door from his dream, and he sees a pair of terrible 3D scissors come at his face. At this point, I remember that this movie was made in 3D, which is why everything keeps fucking flying at the screen like that. If I ever get around to doing Resident Evil, there's a Resident Evil one that does the same thing, and it's fucking annoying. It's not cool. I like to be immersed in movies. Having a giant pair of scissors come flying at my face when it's a dream sequence doesn't make me immersed. Anything that's like coming flying at the fucking camera, it just doesn't work. We see an eyeball get sliced. I guess. Someone is smoking. What else is there? There's a bunch of other shit. This is what happens when the writers are lazy hacks. They just give the main character visions instead of doing the fun little hints at the deaths. Like, those are what I liked before, when you get the little, the guy with hook hands, you know? Things like that, where it's like, oh yeah, there's cool little things that, you know, you play with shadows and shit like that, or put little subtle hints in there. Instead of just like, nope, fuck it, here we go, bunch of shit flying at your face. Mills kids are throwing rocks at a sign, and we see a dude pouring gas into a lawnmower while smoking. He calls him stupid. MILF doesn't check her messages to see that her hairstylist is out due to some dude getting dragged down his road on fire. So she begs the woman with 10 minutes left, which I thought was like, okay, she's just doing a trim. No, she's not just doing a trim. She's making every single person at this place stay late so she can get a pedicure, a hair trimming, and get her hair dyed. That's like a good half hour to 45 minutes of work. So by the time they get her into the chair, yeah, they're making this... She's making three people stay an hour late, and I bet you she's not tipping them. So Goth Girl is giving her highlights, as an Asian chick is giving her a pedicure. We get some lotion sprayed on the floor, and we see that the overhead fan is coming off the roof. Goth Girl finishes as a can of hairspray slides on the table. She starts to trim MILF's hair, and we see the fan is coming off more as a can of hairspray slides straight into a straightening iron and starts to heat up. MILF's kids then run in, and they both slip on the floor of jizz. The can of hairspray blows up, launching the fan off the ceiling, and it hits the floor. But MILF is alive and fine. She calls her kids to follow and says, "I got my eye on you two," in such a terribly fucking comical way that you know she's about to lose her eye. And oh look, the rocks that her kids were throwing at the lawnmower is about to be run over. It does. There goes the rock. She's dead. Her kids get to watch her die. Whatever. Hunt says they just lost a really hot MILF. She wasn't great looking. Here's the same scene we see every fucking movie now. We googled the first three movies, and here is the exposition that you need in case you didn't watch the very linear storytelling that we have here. Janet freaks out, and Hunt says he's going to go get laid. We see a blowtorch, I think would look like a shotgun shell, an elevator screaming, more bullshit. Nick says they need to go to the racetrack. He reminds everyone of the beginning of the movie, and we see that Mechanics Girl died first, then the racist and his wife, then MILF. And then he can't remember after that. Well, I assumed you figured that out, because that's the order that these people just died in. George jump scares us all. George brings up the video of the carnage. Don't think you're supposed to do that. So we know that Mechanic is next, then Hunt and Janet, then George and Lori, and then Nick. And they head to Grand State Customs to try to save the Mechanic, or cause his death. We enter the safest place around as we enter Grand State Customs. Lori freaks out and then proceeds to almost kill Mechanic. She almost launches a car onto him. Lori and Nick tell him he is going to die, and he gets named Andy. I honestly think that that actor just made it up on the spot, but whatever. Andy says watching Nadia die killed him. That was the chick that got her face blown off. George says he watched his wife and daughter die in an accident that he caused by being drunk. A can of tobacco spit falls on something. I didn't even bother to write down exactly. I think it's a spool of something. And it proceeds to launch off of the truck that was up on the lift. It goes flying back, but just before it hits the Mechanic, it gets stopped. He walks out and he's like, "Yes, it was my day to die." And a spool breaks and hits an air canister, which then hits Andy a yay crotch level and sends him into the fence, which cuts him into little squares. I'm not even going to try to say this can't happen. I don't give a shit anymore. Nick can't seem to remember who died first between Janet and Hunt, so the Scooby game breaks up. Nick heads to find Hunt, and Hunt is fucking some chicks. Some chick, sorry, just one. And we get her tits flopping around. Hunt is really annoying during sex. He's going on about, like, go faster, go slower, and stuff like that. But then he doesn't bother to get the chick off, and he says he came 4 minutes ago. So what was all that fucking talking before that you were doing just seconds ago? She walks out while putting on her bathing suit, so she's not really hiding the fact that she was fucking some random guy in that shower. We go over, and Janet gives some change to a hobo. And the hobo looks through the change, finds a penny, and says, "This is some bullshit," and chucks it into the road. A bird then shits on her window, and I guess it had Thai food, because it's the worst pile of shit ever. The sunroof opens up, but then will not close. Nick sees an ad for Clear Rivers Water, because, you know, the first movie. And then he sees the lucky coin, some water, a gauge, something else, something other bullshit. Hunt checks his messages, but a fat kid sprays him with water. Hunt then pops the kid's floaty and sees his phone is now dead. Hunt puts the water gun on the pool drain switch, and of course it falls and starts to drain the pool. Somehow the pool is draining so hard, so fast, that it pulls in its own filter. That's how crazy strong that this pool drainer was. I don't know how that filter survived all the other times they've had to drain the pool, but this time was the one. Janet is paying for a car wash and loses a quarter. Not sure why this car wash has a giant grate above water outside of it, but sure. She then closes her sunroof. She did this after paying. What if that wouldn't have closed? You knew it was having issues before. You may have just wasted like $10. Her antenna snaps off and hits some electrical stuff. Why is everything so flimsy in these movies? Like, how many times do people go through car washes? My antenna's never snapped off going through a car wash. Janet then starts to freak out, and apparently there are no attendants for this car wash. She tries to throw it in reverse because she doesn't understand how car washes work, and a pipe bursts and starts to fill her car with water because the sunroof opened back up again. Now, mind you, she had bird shit on her windshield. And instead of just being like, "I'm going to pull it into a gas station and I'm going to use that little squeegee thing to get rid of it," she's like, "I'm going full on car wash." She then proceeds to try to break the windshield with her elbow. And fun fact, you can actually take your headrest and use the metal bars to break your window. They're actually made that way to save your life. So if you are ever in a situation where death is trying to kill you and you get stuck inside of a car wash and your car is filling up with water, grab the headrest out of the back of your chair, and those two little metal prongs that keep it in there, slam them into the window, boom, out of the car. Hunt loses his coin and dives in after it, but his butthole gets sucked into the drain. Not kidding. So at this point, I realize this movie just straight up steals this from Chuck Palahniuk. Because there's a book by Chuck Palahniuk, the guy who wrote Fight Club and Choke and a bunch of other really fucking awesome books. And there's a book called Haunted. It's got a bunch of short stories in it. And one of the stories is a real life story that Chuck Palahniuk came across people who had survived these big traumatic things and everything like that. And it was a story of a dude who liked the feeling of getting his asshole sucked out by the pool drain. And one day, it was a little too strong, and it proceeded to collapse his anus and pull his intestines out through his butt. And then it's a pretty grisly scene as he has to cut his intestine using his own teeth so he doesn't drown. Great book. Bad movie. Not sure why the fuck they stole that, but here we go. Jana pushes her sunroof open more and sticks her head out, and the sunroof then closes and traps her head outside the car. George drives into the front of Janet's car and pushes it back. A pipe hits the car just as Janet is pulled free. Now, this pipe doesn't hit where Janet's head was, nor does it hit anywhere where it would have done anything other than just crack her windshield, so I don't know that that really saved her. I mean, them slamming into the front of her car obviously saved her because she was about to get decapitated, but the whole pipe thing was weird. It was just like, well, that wouldn't have hurt her. So she's alive. Hunt, not so much. He continues to get his asshole eaten by the pool, and Nick can't find him and barely looks. Hunt gets his insides yanked out through his butthole, and is splatter everywhere, because reality. George says that saving Janet either ends this or makes him next, but he's cool with dying. George drops his AA chip into a glass of whiskey, and death has decided to take its time with this one and let him die via cirrhosis of the liver. I keep forgetting everyone's name. Lori. Lori says if George dies, she is next. Coffee spills in a newspaper that says, through action they were saved. Pretty sure that's what they've been trying to do. And pretty sure we've seen this in every movie, where, like, I guess this is just death, like, fucking with them. Like, oh, you've got all those, you're the guy who's got the visions, right? I'm going to show you a vision. You're going to think that you can beat me, but you fucking can't. They go to find George. We all know the chain isn't broken. In fact, George tries to hang himself. Neither Nick nor Lori try to save him. They just kind of stand there for like a good 5 minutes before he finally makes a noise. And his rope breaks. He says he's been trying to kill himself all day. I'm not sure why Nick is so sure that George dies first, because it looked pretty simultaneous, but I guess they think they're safe, and don't seem concerned over the 50-plus people who have died in the past few days. George runs to go get the cookies. We show that some time has passed, and Lori invites him to a 3D movie. Don't go. 3D movies suck. Prime example, this one. Lori and Janet are meeting at Death by Caffeine. I don't know if I would call my coffee shop Death by Caffeine. Kind of has negative connotations to it, doesn't it? Nick drops a book that shows a hand in the water, I guess. And he sees water, a snake, snakes on a cane, and some blood splatter. Cowboy didn't die. Which apparently means he's next? Sure. Okay. So I guess he survived this time, but didn't survive the original vision? Because we saw him get blown the fuck up in the original vision, so I'm going to assume he didn't die when that car blew him up, and so, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm going to assume he did die, and something changed now, so. We see that there's an old guy who's supposed to be getting into a tub of water, and some casual racism here as he assumes that the Filipino guy sees an Asian guy and thinks that he's Korean. So the Korean guy turns on the tub of water, walks away, and proceeds to just leave it run. He never comes back for this guy. But because of that, the water is overflowing and now dripping down into Cowboy's room. We then get an explanation that Nick didn't ask Cowboy to move. Thus, this somehow saved his life because he was in a slightly different position than before. Okay, I guess. Sure. I mean, it's flimsy, but it's there. Nick comes in just in time to see Cowboy get flattened by the bathtub. We get an ominous piece of equipment getting raised into the air, and some old dude is using a toy helicopter to fuck with Janet. And then an RC car painted up like the number 6 car, you know, the one where the driver's dead, hits her feet. Why would an RC car be painted like a local race car? And why would that continue to be painted like a local race car that was involved in 52 people dying at a racetrack? It wouldn't. Out of nowhere, George gets hit by an ambulance and is killed. Kind of a cheap death. A movie theater is doing major construction. I'm also not sure why they'd be doing this during the day, when this would clearly disturb the other theaters, because this construction site butts up against the movie theater that all this shit's going to take place in just a second. It's literally on the other side of the screen. And they were just working 5 minutes ago, and they say lunchtime, which means unless their lunch lasts 2 hours, like, they're going to be making a ton of noise back there while people are trying to watch a movie. Lori gets her shoelace caught in the escalator. She's fine when the lace snaps, though. A dude left his glasses lying on a bench, and it's hitting a pile of sawdust, which, of course, you know, because for whatever reason, you just have giant piles of sawdust laying around. A giant fan gets turned on, which sends a cart heading towards a bunch of nails, while paint thinner, some kind of liquid, spills. And there are like 62 55-gallon drums of flammable liquid being used in this construction. What the fuck are they making? Why do you have that many drums? What would even be in those things? Somebody screams, "Down in front, asshole!" A black dude asks a white dude to move his feet, and Lori thinks she's seeing signs of her death. Because she is. The sawdust lights on fire, and catches the flammable liquid on fire as well. Nick sees it almost every scene, or every... No, sorry. Nick sees that that almost every theater is showing Love Light Lays Dying on every single one of their screens. Somehow Nick is able to get into the theater. Yeah. Some dude's phone goes off. It's Dixieland, I think she said. I don't know. I can't tell if that's... If that's insinuating that, like, he's a hick, so it must be, like, auto racing, because vroom vroom. I don't know. I didn't get the Dixieland connection. This is also why I don't go to movie theaters, because everyone in this movie theater is a fucking cock. So why is nobody stopping this kid jumping from screen to screen? He goes to almost every single fucking one of these screens before he finally finds 13. But Janet will not leave, and as Nick comes in and starts yelling, everybody else in the theater just kind of continues going on watching the movie. Lori runs out. The whole movie theater explodes. Sends a bunch of nails through her face. And then I guess there was like a block of wood or something that also stabs her in the gut. So they start running. So that screen explodes. Then the rest of the movie theater explodes. And Nick and Lori decide to take the escalator down. Why would you take the escalator? If the entire mall is blowing up, why take the escalator? Of course, the escalator starts breaking down, and the bottom of it opens up to reveal, like, giant grinding gears and stuff like that. Lori starts to slip down, and her leg gets caught in a thing, and it crushes her leg up to her knee. Her leg. And she spits out blood. Her leg gets crushed, which causes her to spit 2 gallons of blood out of her mouth. Why? Why would she be spitting up blood? That makes no fucking sense. You don't start spitting up blood because your leg gets ripped off. You would start spitting up blood if, for instance, your stomach gets impaled. Then that makes sense, because then the blood is in your digestive system and you can spit it out. Your leg is not connected to your stomach. Lori then gets crushed out of nothing by the world's strongest escalator, and Nick flashes back because it's 2 visions in one movie. Whoa! He yells, "Look out!" as George gets screamed by the truck. Thanks, Vision. You really didn't give him a lot of time on that one. Instead of going right to screen 13, Nick goes to try to put out the fire. He does not use proper fire extinguisher procedure and chucks it to the side. Then he tries to put the fire out with his feet. A small ember flits through the air and lands on another pile of wood that just happens to be over there because this is the sloppiest fucking sight I have ever seen. That bursts into flames, which starts up a nail gun, which we previously saw was jammed, that then nails Nick's hand to the wall. Janet is being a bitch. For someone who was saved from certain death, who freaked out even over the mention of people dying, is adamant that she is safe, and is not at all freaked out by the fact that Lori is freaking out. Nick grabs a flaming board and tries to get these sprinklers to go off. They do, just in time, and it puts out the fire. 2 weeks later, and Nick has his arm wrapped up. Nick tells a construction worker that he's being unsafe. He enters death by caffeine. Everyone's all joking around, they're all happy. Again, bunch of people fucking dead, only 2 weeks ago. Hobo from earlier says that Nick saved a lot of people. Wait, why is the homeless guy in the coffee shop? And why does he have a coffee? Is that what he spends the money people give him on, coffee? I'd be like, dude, you should be eating food. Like, if you're homeless or you're a struggling artist like you said you were, why the fuck are you buying a $3 cup of coffee? Nick then sees a sign for the pool and an ad for Love Lies Dying. He then sees racing on TV and finally sees that It's Coming has been scratched out and It's Here is written on the table, which he continues to see in his visions. Of course, they didn't change anything because death is back to have them all die at the same time. Just like the last movie ended. Weird. It's like they ran out of ideas. A bunch of shit happens and a semi-truck plows through the window. But wait, you're not going to watch these three die. You're going to watch X-ray versions of them die. I kid you not. Like they ran out of money and had to use the X-ray renders from before instead of showing the actors. We proceed to watch all three of them die by getting like crushed and twisted underneath and stuff like that. But again, we're not watching them. We're watching skeletons. Like the scenes in the fucking Mortal Kombat game. Like where they show the bones breaking and stuff like that. But worse. Worse than a video game. We cut to black and we play some new metal. So that was grueling. That damn near killed me. I'm pretty sure that I've rolled my eyes so much that my retinas have detached. But I did it. I made it through. And I have one more to do. That's it. Because this is not the final destination, even though it's called the final destination. This is number 4. We've got number 5 coming up, and I can finally be done with this god-awful series that spawned off of one good movie and one semi-decent movie. One more. Just need to survive.